You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock, a book-by-book, chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse, line-by-line of God's love letter, the Bible. Sherry studies from the original languages, Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek, from which God dictated the word. And here's Sherry Medlock.
God bless you. Thank you, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Please open your King James Bibles to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 8, verse 10, where we left off last time. Mark, chapter 8, verse 10. First of all, let me give everybody my telephone number. You might want to call and leave a prayer request on my voicemail, or perhaps a question for Mystery Moment, or maybe you just want to tell me you love me because I love you. The number is the area 321-632-4631. Again, 321-632-4631. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 8, verse 10. We left off last week with Jesus feeding 4,000 people and having 7 baskets of fragments left over. And then we had Jesus healing a man's deaf ears, and first he spat, and we're going to talk about that again today. And Jesus says, only believe. All things are possible. Only believe. Now, let's see what great adventures wonderful Jesus is going to take us on today. And straightway he entered into a ship with his disciples and came into the parts of Dalmanutha. 11. And the Pharisees came forth and began to question with him, seeking of him a sign from heaven, tempting him. Now the Pharisees were the phony church leaders. The Gospel of Matthew, it says the scribes and Pharisees sit in the seat of Moses. Moses had the law of God, which we call the Word of God, the Pentateuch, the first 5 books, the Torah. But the Pharisees, the phony church leaders, was Satan's nest, had gotten into the temple, the synagogue, and made up their own law. They added their own traditions of men, which make void the word of God. Now, they are seeing Jesus drawing these crowds, and they're asking for a sign. They don't need a sign. They heard of him feeding 5,000 people, of feeding 4,000 people, of bringing back to life Jairus' little daughter, of healing the woman with the issue of blood, of healing the deaf man, the lepers, and of walking on the water. I mean, what kind of sign do you want? They weren't interested in a sign. They knew that the Bible said that God was going to send Messiah to pay the sin debt, but they didn't want this Jesus to be the Messiah because they had a cushy job. They were charging all kinds of high rates for diseased animals to offer for the sacrifices. Remember, Jesus had not yet become the Passover lamb sacrifice. And they had the power. Most of all, they wanted power to control the people. Sounds like one of those parties in the United States of America, doesn't it? They want the power. And so they came to silence Jesus. That's what they did.
12. And he sighed deeply in his spirit.
Now, when Jesus sighed, every time he sighs, I want you all to grow at this point, to know that that means he groaned within himself. In other words, in another gospel, when Jesus was told that beloved Lazarus had died, Jesus groaned within himself. The Greek means he snorted like a horse. A groan of the Holy Spirit is a cry of the Holy Spirit, a soul cry of the Holy Spirit. Remember that Romans 8:26, everybody needs to get it now. You've been listening long enough. It's time for you to learn to groan. It says you don't know how to pray for as you ought, but the Holy Spirit will intercede for you with groanings which cannot be uttered, that you pray according to Father's will. That's when you let the Holy Spirit, and he will do his prayer warrior cry. The groaning, the sighing that Jesus did and you're to do is that you let the Holy Spirit groan his prayer through you, and it'll get answered every time. It moves mountains. Sound causes things to move.
Amen.
So Jesus groaned because he knew what they were up to. And saith, why doth this generation seek after a sign? Verily I say unto you, there shall no sign be given unto this generation. Now, Mark is a teenager, and he always tells it right. But he does not go into detail. He's ready to go to the next thing. Now Luke goes into detail. Luke chapter 11, verse 9. The rest of the story is, and Jesus says, there shall no sign be given unto you but the sign of Jonah the prophet. As Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of a fish, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And as the fish spit out Jonah, vomited him out on land, so shall Jesus Christ be resurrected from the dead. That's the sign, Jonah. Jonah's name means dove. 13, and he left them, and entering into a ship again, he departed unto the other side. If you watch Jesus' life, remember he's our way shower. He shows us how to do it. Every time these people don't want him, he'll just leave. Remember when the hog owners told him to leave because he had cast out the demons out of that man, and those demons had gone into 2,000 hogs. The hogs ran down in the water and died, and it messed up their pork barrel money. And they told him to leave. He just got in a ship and left. Now, they don't want him there. These are the phony church leaders, so Jesus leaves. It's a lesson for you. If you would turn to the Lord, he will turn to you. If he touches you and you sit coldly by and ignore him, he will leave you. I am trying to tell you now, to whom much is given, much is required. From now on in, all of you just heard that. When the Holy Spirit touches you, be it like a feather, you must respond. You must make a sound. You must make a move. Some of you said, the Holy Spirit doesn't feel me. When have you responded to him? How can you sit still when the love of your soul is caressing you?
Amen.
So, when he's not wanted, he leaves. The Holy Spirit of Jesus is a gentleman. If you want him, he'll come with you and sup with you. If you don't, he'll leave you. 14. Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread. Oh my goodness. Here we go with these disciples. They get right back to the flesh. I mean, didn't they hear that Jesus was talking about Jonah and himself, Jesus dying 3 days and three nights? Now they're going to be worried about bread. See, you will have to discipline yourself to stay in the kingdom. Jesus says the kingdom is at hand. It's not just the few minutes that you go to church or that you pray or that you have a little meeting with a Christian pastor or someone. It's 24 hours a day. That does not mean your feet are not on the ground. You will do better in your job. You will do better in everything you do. You get the job done. You multitask. But always, always, 24 hours a day, everything about you is you are in the kingdom. You are, the kingdom is at hand. You are an ambassador for Christ, and you don't drop it. When you go from hearing this, you don't go turn on the television and forget everything that's there. You can turn on the television, but that should be incorporated in this. It must be something, probably you need to groan for someone on television, if you have a television that works. Mine doesn't, so I'll put that in as a little aside there.
Neither had they in the ship with them more than one loaf.
Here they are. They're looking and say, oh my gosh, we forgot to bring bread. I mean, mercy.
15. And he charged them, saying, Take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees.
Now, in the natural, Angela knows this, that you put leaven, it's like a yeast, and you put that in the, and it causes the bread to rise, okay? So they're thinking, oh, Jesus is going to talk to us about bread, eating bread. No, he's not. He's talking about the bread of heaven, the bread of God. What Jesus is saying, he's just talked to the church leaders. They are sitting in the seat of Moses. This is Satan's camp. Most of these are the Kenites, descendants of Cain, Cain being the child of the devil. And Jesus is saying, beware of the traditions of men which make void the word of God. Surely the Pharisees had added hundreds of laws on the Sabbath impossible to keep. And they were not teaching God's word. They were teaching an opinion. But today we say, people will say, my sermon today is, and I will give you one verse and 3 points. Or they teach a book about the book. Or somebody's opinion. Or some sermon. No, you need the word of God. So Jesus was pretty much aggravated about that, certainly, because he wrote the word and he is the word. And that's what he was talking about. He wasn't talking about literal food. But what do you do? Do you have a little high mountain just for a moment there, and the rest of your week is all about your four, no more, your little job, your little place, your little tummy, your little television set, your little bank account, me, myself, and I, my stuff, my stuff, my stuff? Or is everything about you? You want to get there, you can, you're supposed to be. The kingdom is at hand, always there. Doesn't mean you won't have your feet on the ground. As I say, we accomplish more than most in the physical. But the reason you accomplish in the physical is because you know the kingdom is at hand, and you're an ambassador for the king, and you're on kingdom assignment, and you're doing it.
And of 11, 16, and they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have no bread.
Oh, Jesus is mad at us because we don't have any bread to eat. I mean, duh.
17, and when Jesus knew it, he said unto them, why reason ye because ye have no bread? Perceive ye not yet?
Yet.
Neither understand? Have ye your heart yet hardened?
Remember, we learned last week that hardened in the Greek means the habitual way of man. The habitual way of man. What is the habitual way of man? To doubt. If you could really see the heart of the majority of Christians alive on planet Earth, you wouldn't see faith, you would see doubt. You see, the doctor said. You see, the banker said. You see, my birthday says. You see, the friend says. You see, the government says. You see, the media says. No. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. The just walk by faith, not by sight. By grace are we saved through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. Why do you doubt? Believe. In other words, why are you doing what most people do, says Jesus? Why are you doubting? Do you not yet get it?
18, having eyes, see ye not.
He looked at his 12 disciples there. He had selected them, and he knew they were of good health. All of you have got 20/20 vision, but I hate to tell you guys, you're blind as a bat. Because, see, you can have 20/20 vision physically, but if you don't see the spiritual vision, you have no vision at all. And where there is no vision, the people perish, says God's word.
And having ears, hear ye not.
And even though your ears would pass an ear inspection, you are deafer than an adder, unless you can hear the voice of God from Genesis 1 through Revelation 22. Unless you can hear when you say the scripture and in the scripture, unless you can hear that it's God's vibration, his voice, you're deaf. Amen. Oh, that your ears would hear the word of the Lord. Oh, that your eyes would see the manifestation of the word of the Lord.
And do you not remember, 19, when I break 5 loaves among 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up?
You little boys there, you 12 grown men in your little boys' clothes there, do you remember how many baskets when we fed the 5,000 little children? How many baskets left over?
They said to him, 12.
It wasn't a very enthusiastic 12.
20. And when the 7 among 4,000, how many baskets of fragments took he up?
And little boys, do you remember the 4,000? How many baskets did you take up?
And they said, 7.
Now you notice they didn't say, 12, yay, 7, yay. 12, 7. They know they're not doing so good. How could you forget? How can you live on a mountaintop and see the miracles? How about that other time God got you out of that horrible trouble? You were going to die. You were going to die and God delivered you. And now you're in trouble again and you don't think he's going to do it this time. How many times does he have to rescue you before you would believe that he'll do it again? I speak to doubt. Go to the abyss in the name of Jesus. Believe the word of God. He's not a man that he should lie.
21. And he said unto them, how is it that ye do not understand? 22. And it cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him.
That's interesting. Bethsaida, Beth in the Hebrew is house, Saida is fish. We can't get away from the fish, can we? Fish is a Greek word, it's a cipher, ictus, and it means Jesus Christ, Son of God, Savior. So see, all we've got here is the kingdom and the king. You understand Jesus is going to leave these disciples, and he's going to leave them in charge to build the church. And they can't even remember that he just fed 5,000 people. They're worried about a biscuit.
And he besought him to touch him.
Now, obviously, Jesus had the reputation of the laying on of hands ministry. Remember, Jairus came and said, if you will but lay your hands on my little daughter, she will live. And so Mark 16 is going to teach us and say, these signs follow them that believe. You shall lay hands on the sick and they recover. How do you do that? Because Jesus says, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. That's the Holy Spirit. And it comes out of your belly. You can feel it touching your spirit. It'll come up out of your arms like a conduit on your hands. And it's transferred to the person. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. So they wanted him to do that.
23. And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town.
If you ever wanted to know that Jesus has compassion, that will tell you right there. First of all, the blind man is aware that there are thousands of people around. And he is aware that they're looking at him. People like to look at a blind person, and because they can't believe that the blind person is a person. They must be crazy. They must be demented. They must be useless and sit in the corner. And they want to watch how you do. How do you see how to fix your hair? How do you put your clothes on? In other words, and so Jesus says, I don't want them staring at him. Then Jesus takes him by the hand. Because see, when you're blind, you can't see one inch ahead of you. I mean, on a road, there might be a snake. There might be a turtle. There might be a limb. So Jesus saves his dignity. Get away from the people staring at him and let me guide you safely. What compassion. Some of you are spiritually blind. If you turn to Jesus, he'll take your soul and guide you into his marvelous light.
And when he had spit on his eyes.
There goes Jesus spitting again. Okay, why did Jesus spit? Spit is water. And Jesus told the woman at the well that he is the living water. Spit came from inside of Jesus. And as I just said, Jesus said for you, when you pray for people, out of your belly, that's where the Holy Spirit lives, yep, right down there, shall flow rivers of living water. That's talking about the power of the Holy Spirit, that all power. And it'll come up out of you and come through your mouth or your hands. So Jesus reached in himself where the saliva is, and out of the well of salvation, Jesus drew the water of life, the Holy Spirit. The anointing destroys the yoke, the anointing, the Holy Spirit. And that's why he did. He drew the well of salvation, the water, the Holy Spirit anointing, and he put it on the man's eyes. Do you understand? The anointing destroys the yoke. Go into the well of salvation and draw forth the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. And then just the moisture of the power of God will cause people to be healed. Oh, that we could have a body of Christ all filled with the Holy Spirit. Every sick person would stop being sick.
He put his hands upon him. He asked him if he saw aught.
Now, Jesus knew whether he saw, but Jesus is going to teach us a lesson. Do you see anything?
And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking.
Now, on first look here, it looks like Jesus didn't quite do the job thoroughly, doesn't it? He says, you would think, well, maybe he kind of sees them as blurs. No. Jesus is far more interested in you seeing God's plan, the kingdom plan, than you seeing what you look like in a mirror or seeing the step ahead of you. And so when Jesus drew from the well of salvation and he got that water and put it on there, what happened? The man was spiritually enlightened. The spiritual blindness went away. He began to see that God is the husbandman and that we have this vineyard there and that we are, Isaiah 61, the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. And we're like a tree planted by the rivers of water. We bring forth our fruit in season. Our leaf does not wither. Whatever we do shall prosper. We're the planting of the Lord. And if we abide in the vine, we bring forth much fruit. Jesus, the tree of life. God, Hosea 14, the great green fir tree. And old Satan over there, Ezekiel 31, just an old box cedar. In other words, he begins to see that God's got this whole story. That not, we are like the trees and God is the vineyard. God loves plays. God loves parables. God loves stories. God loves movies that are all about him. He's an author. And that the man began to see the whole plan of God. Hallelujah.
25. After that, he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up, and he was restored and saw every man clearly.
By the way, I'll heal your physical eyes too, says Jesus. He saw every man clearly. Yes, physically. Do you see people's hearts? Do you? If you were blind as a bat, can you talk to someone and see their spirit, see their heart? I don't mean manifestation. That's what you must be. We are one body. In other words, when you see God's plan. The man now saw while we're here. You're not here about your family, your job, your car, your dog, your fun, yourself. You're here on an assignment because Satan rebelled in the first earth age. We're in a spiritual body there. And you'll come here either as elect to bring forth the truth or to get the word out now that you are saved. All the other stuff is superfluous. You do a good job at that. You know, if you're married, stay married. If you got children, love them. And if you got a job, keep your job. We all have to do those things. But that's not your point. See men clearly. What is your purpose? What is your mission? If you will begin to learn your mission 24 hours a day, when these horrors of life come upon us, it won't knock you off your coon dog, as Pastor Murray likes to say. It won't knock you off your stable place there. What will happen is you'll say, doesn't matter, my mission. Your mission isn't being happy. Your mission isn't having fun. Your mission isn't having a lot of money. Your mission is to get the word of God to everybody you can, the gospel. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
26, and he sent him away to his house, saying, you will go into the town, nor tell it to anyone in the town. 27, and Jesus went out, and his disciples, and into the towns of Caesarea Philippi. And by the way, he asked his disciples, saying unto them, Who do men say that I am?
Jesus saw that the people would talk to his disciples. So what are they saying about me, said Jesus. He knew, but he wanted to see what the disciples would say.
28. And they answered, John the Baptist.
Well, that was Herod, remember him. He thought that since he'd beheaded John the Baptist, that John the Baptist had come back and was now Jesus.
But some say Elias.
That would be Elijah the prophet, who never died, who went up to heaven in a whirlwind, which means a chariot of fire.
And others, one of the prophets. 29. And he saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am?
I am. This is a very crucial question, because Jesus is getting closer to be crucified, to pay the sin debt, and he will leave them. And this little motley crew that can't understand that he's not talking about bread, physical bread, they've got to build the church, and he's got to trust them with it and get this gospel on down until he can come again. When Moses went to the burning bush, he saw a bush burning and it wouldn't die. He noticed it was God. And Moses said, God, what is your name? And God speaks Hebrew, and God said, I am that I will become. Jesus says, who do men say that I am? Doesn't matter what they say, Jesus is who he will become. Jesus is Emmanuel. Jesus is God with us.
Amen. And Peter answered and saith unto him, thou art the Christ.
Now, there's Mark again, the teenager. He said it right, but there's more. Matthew chapter 16, the rest of that is, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Christ is the anointed one. And in Matthew 16, Jesus says, Peter, Bar-Jonah, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. And he said, thou art Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and not the gates of hell shall prevail against it. Peter's name is Petra, means rock. It doesn't mean he's building it on Peter. Peter is a movable rock. But on the rock of the declaration that Peter just said, Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And so Jesus did ascend back, and these same ones began the church. I mean, what a transformation in them. They grew up overnight. And the church is still going. I mean, they try to silence us. I myself have been driven out 3 different times by drug gangs right out of my school in this same area, and we're still standing. What have you gone through? The church is still standing. We're a little wobbly. We need some teaching. We need to come together, but we're standing. Why is that? Because we're the body, and Jesus is the head. A little poem I wrote, we're the body, Jesus is the head. Body come alive because the head is not dead.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
30. And he charged them that they should tell no man of him. 31. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priest and scribes and be killed.
He just burst their bubble. By the way, he says, they're going to kill me. Now, they thought he was going to set up his kingdom right there. Mrs. Zebedee, he even asked Jesus, could James and John sit on either side of you on your throne when you get your kingdom going here? See, they were casting out devils, man. They were big shots here. And they were having all this power and seeing him walk on the water. I mean, they were part of the big cabinet. What? You're going to die? They didn't remember or understand that he came to die. That was his mission.
And after 3 days, rise again.
Like Jonah.
32. And he spake that saying openly. And Peter took him and began to rebuke him. But when he had turned about and looked upon his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, get thee behind me, Satan. For thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of man.
Now when Peter rebuked the Lord, "No, Lord, you're not going to die. I'll take my sword and I'll slice off anybody's ear that tries to arrest you." Remember, Peter did do that later on when they tried to arrest him. "No, Lord, you can't die. I'll take care of you." That was pure love from Peter. But Peter did not understand the overall message. See, there are some of us that have to die to ourselves before ever we were 2 cents. You're no good until you die to yourself. When you will just let yourself not be so important and make God so important, what a beautiful person you'll be. And Jesus says, "I know that Satan has taken this beautiful quality of a loving big heart that Peter has and has turned it to cause God's plan not to be carried through." In other words, Peter says, "No, I love you, Lord. But see, if Jesus had not died, we wouldn't even be here. What's the point?" In other words, that he paid the sin debt. He came to defeat death, whose name is the devil. Hebrews 2:14. He came to die. And Peter was being used by Satan to take that great big heart and interfere with God's plan. Be careful when you help people. I know some of you work with alcoholics. Make sure that you don't interfere with God's chastisement on them. Because, in other words, when we mess up with God's plan to get people out of trouble, we do want to help people. We do help people, and we always do. But make sure you're not interrupted with God's plan. See, sometimes, as he's about to tell you, God's plan involves suffering. Most of the time it does, the fellowship of suffering. If you're worth your salt, you will suffer for Christ's sake.
34, and when he had called the people unto him, with his disciples also, he said unto them, "Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me."
In other words, who's going to be a Christian? "Oh, the Lord gave me so much money and gave me a new car and gave me a nice home and gave me a promotion. I have such a fun, wonderful, beautiful, rich life." Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow him. You take up the word of God, and I can assure you're going to be persecuted if you get it, if the word right. It is such a joy. It is such a joy to be persecuted for righteousness' sake. You're doing it right when that happens to you.
35. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it.
All of these disciples except John were murdered with cruel deaths for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. But their life on earth was just a dot. We're telling this story. But the book of Revelation tells us that right now they are seated around the throne. The 24 elders seated around the throne, 12 of them are the 12 apostles, and they are alive and well. Great honor to be able to sit that way. In other words, this life is just a dot. Don't get so wrapped up in it. Just be whatever God wants you to be. Don't worry about what people say. Don't worry about your stuff. Be what God wants you to be. Be outstanding. Go out there next week and win some souls to Jesus. Have you ever tried? It's time that you did it. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I feel the presence of the Lord is in this place. I actually see the outline of Jesus over there. Praise God, praise God, praise God. But look at the reward they have now.
For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?
We hear people who are very famous and rich and they don't know the Lord. What does it matter if you're able to buy up the whole planet and lose your soul? Fini.
37, or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?
Can you buy eternal life? No, you cannot.
38, whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels.
Jesus is going to give him a happy note now. Yes, I'm going to die, he says. Yes, I'm going to rise again. But I'm coming back, and I'm coming in the sky in the glory. I'm bringing the holy angels with me. And then I'm going to find out, did you believe me? Or did you go for the Antichrist? Will you be ashamed of me? Did you teach the word of God? Did you betray me? If you do not confess Jesus, he says, I will not confess you before my Father. But if you're true to his word, he will confess you to the Father and say, this is my bride, Father. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. On this rock, the rock of Jesus Christ, I will build my church, and not the gates of hell shall prevail against it. Amen, amen. And amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. We'll begin right there next time, but it's right now, it's time for Mystery Moment, questions to help you understand the mystery of God. I want to introduce to you the owner of the produce place in Suntree, Florida, man of God, my twin friend, Scott Merson. How are you, Scott?
I'm doing good, Miss Sherry. Well, that was a great word tonight with the fire of God in it. That
was
awesome.
Wow.
Amen. That was awesome.
Amen. Thank you.
Okay, our question. What torture to whip Jesus with 39 stripes, one by one?
Yes, Jesus took 39 stripes on his back. That's right. It really wasn't one by one. What they did, they took 13 whips, okay, 13 whips, and put them on one device, which the soldier would hold in his hand. And those whips were laden with things that would cut your flesh. And so they beat him. One is 39 stripes, and it would cover his whole body. Not just like if it was just one whip, it could only get one thing. They could scrape him from the head of his top of his head to the soles of his feet. And they did that 13 stripes three times, which makes 39. I think that's probably even more cruel because it's shocking.
Yeah.
My goodness. With his stripes, we are healed. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Jesus. Well, you know, David left his stuff in the cart. Ezekiel put his stuff in the bag. It's time now for Scott's stuff.
We must not look through our worldly eyes at physical things for spiritual discernment and direction. We must see through the eyes of our Lord's heart spiritual things for spiritual purposes through the Word of God and His heavenly realm revealings and revelations.
That is so good. Thank you, Scott. No, not
welcome.
Like to the physical, like the disciples trying to think about bread.
Right?
That was very good.
Well, thank you.
Thank you very much. I'm going to pray for all of you who are sick, so get your loved ones around your radio or internet. But first of all, let me pray for anyone who is lost, so the Lord can write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. You want to be ready when He comes again. Remember, He comes at the seventh trump. The Antichrist comes at the sixth. Six comes before seven, so don't be deceived. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
Please forgive all my sins.
Please forgive all my sins.
Wash them away with the blood of Jesus.
Wash them away with the blood of Jesus.
Fill me and lead me by the Holy Spirit.
Fill me and lead me by the Holy Spirit.
Use me to win many souls to Jesus. To spread your word.
To the world.
I belong to Jesus.
Jesus is Lord.
Amen. Now, if you were saved then, I'm going to give you my telephone number again. You might want to call and leave that message so I can pray for you. Now let me pray for those of you who are sick. Father, in the name and the power of Jesus, I ask now that the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in your wings to the north, the south, and the east, the west. Let the healing virtue of Jesus flow into people's bodies. Where there's excruciating pain, let the pain stop. He relieves you from all distress. Jesus bore your pains. In the name of Jesus, arthritis be gone. In the name of Jesus, Tendonitis be gone in the ear. Stop the ringing in Jesus' name. Epitar, ears be open in the mighty name and the power of Jesus. Backbone and spine be healed. Let the vertebrae get into perfect alignment in Jesus' mighty name. Kidneys be healed, divine order. Bladder, all of the stomach in divine order in Jesus' name. Bowels, let there be perfect circulation, perfect assimilation, perfect elimination, no overaction or inaction, divine healing. In the name of Jesus, he sent his word and healed you with Jesus' stripes. You are healed. Praise God. We give God the glory. Now, if you got that healing, you'll also want to call and tell me that, and then we can pray for you then. Remember this about Jesus. His name is called the Word of God, Revelation 19:13. And Jesus says in John 17:17, thy word is truth. I want to give a special thank you to my twin friend Scott Merson for his beautiful segment, Scott Stuff. We appreciate you so much, Scott. You are such a blessing, and thank you for that. Until next time, let me give you my telephone number, 321-632-4631. Call me again, 321-632-4631. And until next time, when you and I can get together again and hear the word of the Lord, the beautiful voice, the joyful sound, I want you to make sure that you tell everybody you know about Trumpet of Truth and bring them into the kingdom. This is Sherry Medlock saying, I love you, God bless you, God keep you. Until next time, we'll gather around, hear the joyful sound, and tell everybody of the Trumpet of Truth.
Been listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock, a book by book, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, line by line of God's love letter, the Bible. Sherry studies from the original languages, Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek, from which God dictated the word. Tune in next week at this same time for the Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock.
Christmas would just pass her by. Nothing could reach her or answer her questions. Why? She feels so alone. She wonders if all hope is gone. Hope is a candle.
Take all I have in these hands and multiply. God, all that I am, and find my heart on the altar again. Set me on fire, set me on fire. Oh, take all I have in these hands and multiply. God, all that I am, and find my heart on the altar again. Set me on fire, well, set me on fire. Here I am, God, arms wide. In awe of your name, your mighty love stands strong to the end. You will fulfill your purpose for me. You won't forsake me. You will be with me. Here I am, God.
Here I am, God. arms wide open. Pouring out my life, gracefully broken.
You are listening to today's Modern Worship here in Brevard County, 91.5 FM, WMIE.
Away in a manger, no crib for a bed, the Jesus laid down his sweet head. The stars in the sky looked down where he lay. The little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay.
Silent Holy Night, all is calm, all is bright. Round young virgin, mother and child, holy infant, so tender and certain poor shepherds in fields as they lay, in fields where they lay keeping their sheep on a cold winter's night that was so deep.
Oh, God.